Hello and welcome to another episode of It Was Mooning, your source for all things movie, streaming, and pop culture related. I'm your host, Kosi, and I'm joined always by Wani V. And today we have a very, very special episode. It's a roadshow episode. I'm on the road. Juan's been on the road. We're both tired out here, Grandpa. But we want to bring you guys the content that you guys deserve. So we're doing it kind of different today. So I apologize for the audio. How you doing there, Juan?
Hey, what's up, Kosi? I definitely appreciate the patience your listeners have had. As Kosi mentioned, we've just been incredibly busy with real life. Hopefully y'all listeners can get more of your friends and family, get us some more fans. We get enough people, maybe we can get some money to stop working so hard, right, Kosi?
Exactly. Quit our day jobs, just become rich assholes like we always intended to be. So that's the goal, and we can't do that.
Become the next, Shane Gillis, Joe Rogan.
Exactly. And honestly, today's a pretty Elon Musk. I think today's a pretty good episode we have here. We're talking about not so hot button issue, immigration, but legal immigration, as you put it earlier. The both of us, aren't from around here. Just going by my name alone, it's not a very common name. So we both have very unique stories of how we got here. So myself and Juan, you're gonna share our experiences, but also talk about the movies and TV and pop culture that we watched, to kind of assimilate and feel, more American. Does that sound right to you, Juan?
Yeah, definitely. Want to tie it back a little bit to some of the pop culture topics you guys know and love from us, but a big part of it is just going over not just our experiences, immigration, just some of our thoughts in general. It's nice that you mentioned legal versus illegal immigration, Kosi, because we're definitely both here legally.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure most of the MAGA folks who have a problem with the illegals wouldn't look all that much better on us, but at least they say they will to our face.
Right. That's all that matters. I like, if any of y'all are listening, haha, got you. We're both here legally, so suck it. Just in case.
Of course. Just in case. Now, they probably still think we're trying to dilute their bloodlines or something, man.
Oh, no, we definitely are, Juan. That's why we came.
I don't know about you, man, but I mean, neither of us have no white wives, so we haven't been going after the snow bunnies.
No, we're staying away, but we're definitely doing our part.
Snow bunnies for us.
none for us. But I guess just...
No mulatto kids.
Well, maybe for me, I'll definitely have some ethnically ambiguous children.
That's true. That's usually very ethnically ambiguous. Ain't nobody gonna know where they're from.
Man, they're gonna be like, I'm not sure if you're Southeast Asian, if you're black. But either way, just put your hands on the dashboard. We don't care.
But no, folks, we don't want to get too political on here. I mean, I think both of us. Frankly, it might surprise some of y'all that to know that we're probably both fairly against illegal immigration.
Yeah.
At least
yeah,
as far as like, people just streaming in here, blindly whenever they want.
I will preface, I do understand that like some people come from like countries that are really messed up and like this is like the only way. So, hopping on a boat and getting over here might be the best option, So I do feel for those situations.
Theoretically, those people would apply for asylum,
and right.
get
okay.
it or
okay.
not get it based on the rules, how many people are coming and such like that. I'm talking about people just like straight up coming into their country, obviously some of them are going to have sob stories. They're fleeing from something, their kids or whatever. Some of them aren't. I mean, some of them are going to be criminals, right? Yeah. Some of them are just going to be people who just one more. I mean, it's a fair thing. You want a better economic life. You want to provide for your family, but they weren't necessarily in some immediate danger, right?
Right. No, and I get it. I get it. America is the land of the free and home of the whopper. Like, it's a huge golden, it's a golden ticket here to get here.
How are you going to throw out the worst fast food?
It's
the worst fast food burger. Not even the Big Mac. Not even. We're in Texas, Cozy. You could have said the Whataburger, the anything. Nah. The honey butter Texan. Texas,
chicken. Right for all our southern listeners. Yeah. No, like I had to shout out.
I lost my touch, man. I lost my Whataburger touch. I can't even just sit roll off my tongue anymore.
No, it's cool.
Honey butter chicken biscuit.
No, but again, like I think when people think of like America, they think of like that land of opportunity. So you know they will sacrifice everything to come here. But you know there should be some kind of rules and regulations in place to have that happen. And in both of our cases, you know, we went through the proper channels. So I guess just off the rib, Juan, like, so what was your, I think I asked you earlier about this, but what was your immigration or just experience coming to America?
All right, so my experience, so I came here as a kid. Mm-hmm. I won't give too many identifying details because, you know, right. Internet's a dark place these days, folks. But no, I came here in the 90s. I was born in Colombia, came here in the 90s. It was funny for me. I'm not sure how your experience was. So obviously, you're a kid. You don't have a lot of choice in the matter, right?
Right.
It's not like they were asking me if I wanted to come to the U.S. or stay in Colombia for economic reasons. That's not something that matters to, you know, somebody under 10 years old.
Yeah, of course.
But so anyways, it was funny. My parents actually... obviously, your memory gets hazy. That meant, like, you know, 30 years out. But my parents basically hit me with the idea that we were just coming to the U.S. to visit, essentially. Oh, right? We're just coming for, like, a few months. And then they started, like, adding more time while we were still in Colombia. And just like, oh, yeah, no, we're going to stay there for, like, a few weeks and then a few months. Or we could stay there for, like, 6 months or, you know, whatever else.
Yeah.
It wasn't really until I got to the U.S. that I think they fully told me that, no, we just live here now.
No, I was
going to
stay here.
This is our new home. This is not a fun trip. I don't think I took that very well. It was a pretty traumatic experience, you know.
I can't imagine.
It was a little bit of a, like, oh, man, I mean, this seems like it was convenient for you. Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if my parents would dispute and, like, say it happened a little bit differently. But that was my memory of it. Just a kind of betrayal of somebody. Oh, my God, I'm in a different country. And it's just, you know, whoops. We're not a fun vacation anymore. You know, instead of something to get excited over, you know, I had to get sad and, you know, have a process the grief over it after I had already moved.
Right. So that was fun. And this is like well before like the other siblings were born, so it was just like you and your parents. Right?
No. My sisters were pretty close, but they were younger, right? Okay. I mean, one of them was just like, you know, a baby. Toddler.
Uh-huh.
Not quite a baby, but a toddler.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, she barely even had, I mean, they have some memories, but I'm sure it felt a little bit easier. I'm sure my other one that was a little bit closer to my age was pretty rough for her as well. I don't think we've ever talked about it in too much detail.
Right.
I'm sure it was pretty rough for her as well. It was crazy, man. Luckily, we had some family here already, mm-hmm. and some other family, especially in that first year, some other family that kind of moved with us. Funny, mm-hmm. you know, speaking of illegal immigration, at least some of them stayed here longer than their visa said they should have. They got to working and they got to doing stuff even though they had a tourist visa. Mm-hmm. So, you know, funny enough.
Or student. But, I've heard of student visas as well, like for school.
Yeah, student visa you can't work on. You can only work with a work visa, right? So H-1B.
Okay.
So you can be here legally, but not be allowed to work. Or you can be, a lot of what happens a lot is people come here legally, and then they just don't leave when they're supposed to, right? They overstay their visa. So a lot of people actually here illegally aren't people who crossed the border, you know, crossed the desert, the Rio Grande, came in. It's people who came in here on a plane, somebody stamped their passport, everything was peachy, and then they're like, I'm going to stay here. I'm just going to find the job. I'm just going to stay here because screw going back.
No, I definitely get that. And, like, speaking of that, like you said, your sisters were, like, super young. Like, for you, so I guess my other question would be then, how, I guess, maybe kind of going into this next one, how did that make you feel in terms of just, you know, you're in a new country, the stuff that you watch on TV isn't like the same, the stuff that like was that like a huge like shift, like going over from what you're experiencing in Colombia over to America, or like,
oh, you know, a funny story with that. So in Colombia, cable TV is really cheap, I suppose, or I guess we were just relatively well off. I'm not 100% sure on the details. Pretty sure we weren't super well off. Actually, I'm pretty sure my dad's company went bankrupt right before we came to the U.S. It's actually very successful now, funny enough. Bankruptcy isn't the monopoly end of the world that they make it seem like in the movies. But it was rough back then, right? But anyways, I had cable TV as a kid in Colombia. So I got to watch, you know, Cartoon Network. I got to watch all these things that I grew up with. In Spanish, obviously, right? They didn't, it wasn't like subtitles and stuff. Little kids don't watch stuff with subtitles. Right. But yeah, it was all in Spanish. So I got to watch Sailor Moon and the OG Dragon Ball. Not Dragon Ball Z, the OG. Yeah. I watched, I love Dexter's Lab, Johnny Bravo, all that stuff. Good shows, right?
Right.
And then, so I came here to the States. And suddenly, you know, my dad was starting up a new company with his brother. It was all, we were in an apartment early on. Cable was a lot more expensive and such. I don't even think I had a properly working TV. I did have a TV that worked in a sense, but like, I could get into a whole story on that. I almost killed myself with that TV, literally, and not exaggerating. It fell down, just not on top of me, luckily. But anyways, and that was back in the day when TVs were big, boxy. You remember those old school big boxy TVs?
They weighed like 3,000 pounds.
Yeah, that could hurt you if it fell on you. That's what, like, I dropped, like, very close to falling on top of me.
Yeah, as well plasma screens, well before that.
Yes, it wasn't these little, plasma screens aren't even a thing nowadays. Yeah. It was well before flat screen TVs and TVs. Yeah. So you would need multiple big, strong men to move one of these TVs around. It was a whole mess. So I got here, and I did not have cable TV. In fact, I barely even had actual TV, like, you know, proper channels and stuff. I had a VHS player and eventually, you know, a DVD player. And I had video games and such. But I went from being able to watch, you know, Cartoon Network, all these cartoon shows, to, if I was lucky, there were Simpsons on, you know, at, like, a specific time of the day. That was pretty much the only animated thing if you just have regular antenna, right? We're not talking about cable. We're just talking about the basic local channels.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a bunch of, you know what I'm talking about. You have a bunch of news channels. You know, it's not much. It's like 15 channels at most. ABC, NBC, Fox.
Fox, UPN, or 20.
Fox was clutch, but I mean, back then I was a kid. I didn't really appreciate Simpsons. A lot of cultural references that obviously flew over the head of little kid Colombian me. the one saving grace was when I figured out Saturday morning cartoons. That was clutch as hell. Waking up at six in the morning watching the Yu-Gi-Oh! And Jackie Chan Adventures and all that stuff.
Jackie Chan
Adventures was my shit in particular. I feel like that definitely captured that first generation immigrant essence
for a TV
show.
Yes.
I also appreciated Lucha Libre, even though I wasn't Lucha Lucha.
Love that show. Love that show.
Even though I wasn't Mexican, it's like that was one of the more Hispanic shows on air at the time. For
it was representation at the time, so yeah.
the flea, bro, that shit was low key racist. But always that shit donuts. Was hilarious. yeah, gross as shit, just literally covered in shit
and flies. Nah,
It was a little bit racist, but it was like funny racist. It's like, I appreciate that there's a little bit of like love for the culture. You know what I mean? It's not like a totally offensive.
I'm sure you know
what I'm talking about.
No, I think piggyback off your point and get into like my experience. I also watched Kids WB as well, but unlike you, I got here when I was around your younger sister's age, so around 2 years old. So,
I, I, like, like pretty much your whole life.
Yeah. So yeah, came here from Nigeria initially. So my mom and her sisters came over. This is like in the 94 is when they came over. So I remember that they were saying it was a World Cup year, and like Nigeria was like in the World Cup. So that's what they're calling
it. Colombia made the World Cup, and their player got shot.
Oh man, Andres. Oh yeah, I remember that. Oh man, there was a whole documentary about that thing. They killed him. Sorry, listeners. Just a dovetail a little bit, listeners. So the Colombian national team, they're historically really good at soccer, just incredible at soccer. At this time in the 90s, there was this one player, I don't know his name, he basically messed up, like, you know, everything, things happen.
Scored an own goal. It's like a tiny mess up, but yeah.
It is, okay, I maybe undercut it. Yes, it was a big mess up, but I still think, hey, it's a game. I would hope that what happened next wouldn't, but in Colombia, in the time, according to watching this ESPN documentary, the Colombian national team, they were funded through, you know, the drug market in the area. They're well funded, actually. And yeah. So it was, the incentive was, hey, guys, you do well, you know, get more money. But if you do bad, you know, things could happen. And unfortunately, this player, the own goal player, that he messed up, and unfortunately paid with it with his life. There was an assassin. Someone came by and just took him out. So yeah, this was around.
It might have been a bar argument with somebody.
Oh,
criminal, yes. Related. I don't remember. I watched the documentary.
Yeah, it was a 30 for. Yeah, it was 30 for 30.
What was it? Two Escobars, wasn't it?
Yeah, the two Escobars. Yeah,
highly recommend it. Highly awesome. 30 awesome. For 30 ESPN. Mm-hmm. Bill Simmons was in charge of that stuff at the time. Great stuff.
Really, really fat. So yeah, it's around that time. So Nigeria was in the World Cup. Colombia's in the World Cup. Everything's going up. So we come here. And so like the earliest memory of just like I was just a little baby. So the earliest memory was around the time I was like maybe like four years old. So it's like what, 96, you know, going to 97. I'm a big TV fan. And so as an only child, you know, I had to kind of sort of just, you know, entertain myself, and TV, the families that I saw on TV really kind of became like my own families. So really, so shows like Full House, shows like Family Matters, specifically those two shows, Family Matters and Full House, just depicting Family Matters, especially depicting the black family, the nuclear black family that we saw. I'm like, oh, those people look like me. They have wacky experiences that I wish I could have. And then Full House.
Steve Urkel, though.
Steve Urkel, I thought was the coolest and funniest guy as a little kid.
Kids have the worst taste, right? It's funny,
right, dude? Other dovetail, Steve. I rewatched Family Matters recently. He is a creep. Steve Urkel is a creep. He is a horrible guy. He kind of basically wore Laura down for 7 years into falling in love with him. I'm even sure Laura even loved him at the end. Anyway, he's the worst. But as a kid, Steve Urkel's hilarious. And I really gravitated to those two shows because of how they depicted family. You know, they all had fun. There were serious moments, but at the end, there was always a funny laugh track or a cheesy song break before the commercial that really resonated with me. It was kind of like this is what Americans are like. This is how they behave. This is how families should be. And at a time when, like, you know, it was just me and my mom and my aunts, it wasn't the nuclear family that I saw on TV. So, you know, kind of like early as the age of like six, I was, or at the age of like four, I was trying to escape into these shows without really realizing it. So those two in particular were TV shows that I loved. Definitely you touched on the Kids WB, Jackie Chan Adventures, Mucha Lucha. I definitely got to give love to Fox, to the Fox Kids slew of shows. So the original, the OG X-Men, Spider-Man, the animated series.
Yes. X-Men Evolution.
Yeah, X-Men Evolution was incredible. Also, I do
Justice League.
Yep, Justice League. Like, just cartoons that I loved. But also, you also missed a huge blind spot. I don't know if you had this, but PBS. PBS was also free.
Arthur. Oh, man.
Arthur was.
I watched Barney.
Yeah. Barney. Teletubby scared the absolute fuck out of me. My grandma told me that they were deep. My grandma told me they were demons, and I believed her.
See, that's another experience I have. That's probably another thing most, especially white folks, or just people that are from here, don't understand. I grew up watching a lot of Pokemon, right? Love Pokemon.
Oh, yes.
Love Pokemon. Watch every episode, the movies, everything. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, and so my cousin would come here. Came here a little bit after I did from Colombia, stayed with us near where we were for maybe 6 months to a year, and then they went back. Maybe 2 years. It wasn't all that long. They didn't stay here permanently. They go to school with us and stuff. Anyways, the guy had me convinced that Pokemon was satanic. Like, full-on, like, devil worship.
Oh, no.
And not just that. Like, I was like, I think it was like, if you play the Pokemon theme song backwards or something.
Oh, no. Song,
it's like, you know, like, some weird satanic message plays.
Yeah.
Bro, I think I was, like, terrified to do that. Oh, I legitimately thought I was going to hell as a little kid because this guy had me convinced that Pokemon was some satanic shit. Didn't even occur to me to ask my mom.
Yeah, just so, ask.
little kids are weird, bro. But now,
were you allowed to read Harry Potter as a kid? I know I wasn't because
yes, I was allowed to read all kinds of stuff. But I honestly think it's because my mom. I don't mean to disrespect. I love my mom.
She was
very ignorant about American culture, like, extremely ignorant.
Well, that's fair. Yeah.
I mean, you know, she came here. She didn't speak the language. My dad was super busy. Yeah, all this stuff, sense. Right? Stay-at-home mom for the most part. I think she did go to like community college a little bit to learn English and stuff like early on. But
she wanted to make sure y'all were like watching some bullshit and stuff. So yeah, I definitely get it.
Yeah, I mean, we were good kids overall, so they didn't stress too much.
Right.
Like the specifics of it. My mom was like, they're reading. That's good. I don't want to watch the TV. I want them reading. That's excellent. It's a big ass book. Here, of course, I'll buy it for you. Yeah. So it's like, it turned out it's brujeria. Brujeria is like some witch shit. Like, she wasn't like super, super about that either. Right. She's like, she's not very religious, but she's not like, she doesn't stress about like fantasy witches.
Right.
Like, she didn't like stuff like that. Right. She wasn't that level of person, right?
No.
In general, Catholicism seemed chill at the time. I feel like now it's gotten a little more.
No, it's not chill anymore.
It's gotten a little more political, and obviously, I didn't know about the child molestation.
I learned about that.
Obviously, that's tragic. It's just I didn't experience that anyway. Obviously,
I learned about that in high school. While I was at a Catholic high school for boys, we learned about that. Like, it was like, that was when like the truth was beginning to come out, like, you know, the mid to late 2000s. It's like, all right, now it's letting it out.
The early to mid 2000s.
Yeah. So
fully coming out. It was very tragic. That wasn't like really my experience, right?
Right.
My mom let me read Harry Potter. The one time she got somewhat upset about a book I read was Da Vinci Code. When she found out we read Da Vinci Code. Because Da Vinci Code is much more direct. Harry Potter's like, it's witches, but, you know, it's just people. It's a young adult's book, right?
It's
fantasy, it's childish, it's fun.
Yeah.
You gotta read as kids. This was us closer to adulthood, you know. We were in our teens. I think I read Da Vinci Code when I was like 14, 15.
Yeah, the movie came out like 06 when I was like 8th grade. I remember that.
Personally.
Yeah.
But I loved the books at the time. I loved the book. That and Angels and Demons. Angels and Demons was amazing.
I haven't read it. I read them. I remember Da Vinci Code was like, they made us read that in middle school. I remember that.
Really? They made you read that?
Made is not the right word. There was like a reading like list we could do to like get like credit for like summer reading or whatever. And I just
picked that's impressive because, that they put that on there on a fucking Catholic school.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. So this was from middle school. Eighth grade.
I'm not sure if it was on that book on a list for us or something, but, you know, it was a good series. A lot of my friends recommended it. But yeah, that was one time my mom was like, "Oh, I wish we had talked about it properly." But I was like, "Mom, I'm not that dumb. I know this guy's saying some painting by Leonardo da Vinci who lived in the 1600s proves
That
Jesus isn't
Jesus was
real.
talking, or like used
How stupid is this? It's a painting.
yeah.
Who cares what Leonardo da Vinci thought about this? He wasn't there."
And then the reveal is like, oh, Jesus has like a long lost relative, and you know, it's
Yeah,
like,
and oh, just
what?
conveniently here. Yeah, oh, come on, man.
She's here. It's this
Yeah,
French
no.
woman.
Yeah, this is random French woman. No, it's a fiction book, right? It's for fun. I didn't really. I mean, to be fair, at that time I was more religious. Now I don't know if I'm as religious, but still, that was not what caused me to have, doubts or issues with my faith or anything, so to speak, right? It was a
Shout out
book.
to Deborah. Shout out to Deborah.
It was a book. It was fun to read. It was a good mystery. The whole thing with the painting of Leonardo proving that Jesus was a fake was dumb
Yeah,
to
it was
me.
awesome. I
Yeah,
think
but
in
it
theory
was
it's
cool. It
awesome.
was just cool. It was a fun book to read.
But I
But
mean
yeah,
to.
man. So keep going a little bit with your experience. I actually liked that. I found that interesting. I almost watched entirely cartoon shows. I don't know what it was. I guess I just thought non-cartoon, non-animated stuff was just for adults and thus boring.
Yeah,
Was that
no,
just my
it
logic?
wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't that. It was just, I think as a kid, you know, you'll gravitate more towards a cartoon. But me, I think I also, just to get into some more of what I watched as a kid to feel more American. Again, I watched TV shows with my mom, like Frasier. We watched Frasier a lot. The Drew Carey Show and Third Rock from the Sun were three shows that came on back to back to back at night. So like as a
That's
little
some
kid, I'm
nostalgia
like,
right there, bro. I barely
yeah,
watched this, but
loved each of those shows. Like had it showed us like a little different side of like Americana. Like Frasier was like the hoity-toity, like posh, proper, like you know, the so educated, sophisticated kind of Americans. Then Third Rock from the Sun was like about legit aliens who are here living in American human bodies trying to.
who's the main guy again? John Lithgow or
John
something?
Lithgow, great catch. John Lithgow,
He was in
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He's in it.
random thing, random, but he was incredible as a serial killer in Dexter.
Oh my goodness! Yes,
Yes.
watch Dexter, listeners, because he.
Only up to like season four, though,
Yes,
because it gets bad afterwards.
it ended. It ended weird. There was a
It is
hurricane.
very, very weird.
There was a storm.
It was incest. It was,
I
yeah.
heard.
He turned into a lumberjack. It's for no
You
reason. For no reason. It's a bad show after a certain point, but
know.
season four with John Lithgow as the Trinity Killer,
Excellent.
peak TV,
Excellent.
peak
Excellent.
TV. But anyways, going back to it, continue with your.
So yeah, again, this is all like so 96. I remember 96 was just a big year. I remember just in terms of just what I was watching. So those TV shows. But also then going into just the movies, like the biggest movie, and it's still a movie that like kind of like shaped just what not just what it meant to be like American at the time for me, but just my childhood was Independence Day with Will Smith. Now I watched so before so again being 4 years old, there in the show Fresh Prince was still kind of airing. It ended in 96. It ended that year that Independence Day came out. So I was really confused as a kid because I'm seeing Will Smith and Nikki, who plays his little cousin on there, and I go to the big screen, I see Will Smith and Nikki again, and Nikki's like, so I legit thought, bless young Cozy's four-year-old Cozy's heart, I thought Independence Day was like a sequel to Fresh Prince. Like I just thought Will Smith like left Bel Air and joined the Air Force and married Vivica and just took Nikki and married Vivica A. Fox and just like to fight aliens. No, it just it was an it left an indelible mark. It was like a big movie. Everyone went to see it. Just this cool black guy as a lead that like I saw on TV now on the big screen. Scary aliens, just city destruction that you know pre-9/11. I think we're just desensitized, like almost desensitized too, because we were like watching it. But like this is pre-9/11, so it's like oh, it's funny seeing the White House get blown up. See like New York just turn to like ash. that all that stuff. And like, you know, of course, at the president's speech, it's like one of the greatest movie speeches like ever given. Just all that, just the Americana, just like coming together as a human race to fight aliens, the whole thing. I really felt like, oh, this is probably how I just got those American feelings. So that's just a big, and that was a huge movie that really shaped just what my identity and how I viewed America, you know, as the superpower. I thought, okay, yeah, if aliens come down, okay, yeah, we're just gonna kick their asses like Will Smith did. Like, we're just gonna punch him in the face like Will Smith did. So no, that was a huge movie that had an effect on me.
Yeah, no, it's interesting you mentioned, you know, like you watch some of these TV shows with your mom, some of your experience growing up, mm-hmm. bonding with her and learning, I guess, about the U.S. Mm-hmm. I didn't really watch TV with my parents. Again, I was watching mostly kid, you know, cartoon stuff that obviously wasn't going to interest them. But my dad loved movies. He's like you, Coz. He had this massive movie collection.
Oh, man.
Just like stupid large DVD collection. You know, back before streaming and all that. So that was the only way to really watch movies.
Right.
I'm talking about hundreds of movies. Funny thing, too, that was back in the day where they had, since people had these big collections, they came up with these DVD players that could store hundreds of discs. We had a DVD player that could store... Yeah. 300 discs at one point. Yeah, but those DVD players were idiotic because, you know, they didn't have like some cool user interface where you could go see, like pick the movies from your list and they would just play it for you. You had to know which spot each movie was in.
Oh, Lord.
Like, if your movie was, if, you know, you were trying to watch Robin Hood, the Kevin Costner Robin Hood, Men in Tights. Mm-hmm.
That's King of Thieves.
King of Thieves, there we go. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. King of Thieves, yeah. You're talking about King of Thieves. We watched it a lot as a kid, by the way.
Great movie.
I didn't realize how racist that yelling Moore all the time was.
Bro, Kevin Costner's accent is fucked up, bro. He's a snob. whatever he was doing, nah, bro.
And then Sean Connery comes in at the end, all epic, only for like two scenes. It's a wild movie.
Yeah.
You had to, my dad actually gave me this like little job for allowance where I had to write down which number in the DVD player every single movie in our collection was. And keep in mind, this was, we filled up that 300 DVD player thing. It was a wild experience. And then it turns out, every time you played a movie, it would move the disc to slot one.
No.
Yes.
So it messes up the count.
Yes. So we had to keep the first few slots open so it would move it to that and then check the little paper to say, okay, no, it has to be put back into slot 130. Every time we watch the movie, there's a reason why they don't do that stuff anymore, folks. There's a reason why every DVD player just plays single movies at a time.
Because the people threw that out the window or smashed it because it was so dumb.
It was fucking frustrating, bro. It was such a worse experience than just having the DVDs in a box. And we ended up having to keep the DVDs in the box anyways. Whenever you had to switch DVDs, one of them broke, or collection got too big. We originally had one with 100 DVDs, or maybe 200. And that one got too small, so we had to switch with the one with 300. My dad really loved movies. He was like you, Coz. He just bought movies like it was nothing. He would just look for movies to buy. Like, oh, let's watch it. Like, that was our family experience. Oh, let's watch a movie. Let's find something to watch. And then, of course, we'd have to skip every kissing scene or slightly sexualized scene. My parents would literally fast forward through it. It would make it more awkward than it needed to be, right? I would get... Like we were watching rated R movies where two guys or whatever, two people are banging on screen. It's just like, oh no, they're like holding hands and he's kind of cupping close to her chest. Nope, that's 4 minutes. Or back when you could skip chapters, you know what I'm talking about, on the DVDs? Mm-hmm. You wouldn't just fast forward it, you skip to the next chapter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, did a lot.
Dude.
With my parents because we just gave big chunks of the movie. It was terrible.
Just thinking about that also took me back to where it's no longer here, but my family, we love going to like both Blockbuster and Hollywood Video. And
yes.
We would watch like on another set of movies that like I watched were Adam Sandler movies. Adam Sandler to my family is like kind of what
Waterboy,
we
thought, baby.
Waterboy and Wedding Singer. That's the one.
Grown Up.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Grown Ups. Yeah, Grown Ups came later.
The one with the little kid where he.
Big Daddy. Yeah, those three. So Big Daddy, Waterboy, incredible. And Wedding Singer. So those three we would. So we would always have like four movies checked out at Blockbuster, which was The Matrix, Waterboy, Big Daddy, and Wedding Singer. And to us, Adam Sandler was like, oh, this is how Americans are. This is like American culture, because my uncles loved Adam Sandler movies, and like it kind of rubbed off on us. So just watching like the Waterboy in particular is, I think, one of the funniest movies ever made. It's like peak Sandler.
Kind of offensive to people with mental health.
Super offensive.
But it's pretty damn funny.
Funny. Yeah. Same way I think about Forrest Gump. It's like great movie, but kind of a little problematic.
That's a very questionable movie, bro. I enjoyed the hell out of it every time I watched it.
Dovetailed, I think the character of Jenna is toxic and did not love Forrest.
She is and, a bitch. Holy crap.
And left him with a baby Haley Osment and died.
I feel like the people who gravitate towards Andrew Tate are people who watched Jenny growing up and were like, oh my god, is this what women are like?
No, it's just dude.
They make it seem like him ending up with her is a happy ending for him. I'm like,
it's not. Forrest, it's like a win.
You can do better. I don't care how many mental disabilities you have. You can do better.
Forrest, run. Run, Forrest. Far away from Jenny. No, because here's what... Like, I watched it recently on a last couple months ago. She would come back. She would literally come back to Forrest at different parts of his life to just tell him that, yeah, I'm just screwing around with some of them other guys, and you're never going to get this, and bye. And every time. And Forrest would be like, okay, I guess that's how it is. Until finally, when she had nowhere else to go, she
and
was like
AIDS and shit, or not AIDS.
Oh my god! No, I think it was AIDS, bro. Or no, it was a cancer. No, yeah. I know it. I think his mom was cancer. Okay, whatever it was, she was sick. But like,
yeah.
Oh no, just had a big problem. But again, that was another movie that was on rotation on TV a lot when I was a kid.
And if I was just taking for granted that kid was actually his, I would have been asking for a paternity test. You know what I mean?
I think the only.
It's like, oh, I saw you hopping around. You were not shy about it.
They did do it that one time.
You weren't that hippie free love shit. I want to know. I want some evidence that this kid is mine, bro.
No, I think the only evidence, he was like, hey, is he like dumb? She's like, no. All right, cool.
That seems like
that was good enough for him.
Yeah, it's like this is what I wanted to hear.
Oh my god.
I think that movie beat out Pulp Fiction for Best Picture.
Dude, it won Best Picture. It beat out Pulp Fiction, and I believe it also beat out Shawshank Redemption, which is insane to think. Insane, because I would have picked Shawshank, quite frankly, out of those three.
I mean, Pulp Fiction is the best movie of the three, but Shawshank is the most Oscar.
It checks the Oscar boxes, definitely. Yeah. I think as Morgan Freeman
playing the wise black man, mm-hmm. black friend.
The magical mist. He wasn't a magical mystical Negro, but he had he didn't have, I don't know, because it's kind of debatable, because he didn't have powers, he could just see stuff.
Okay, how offended were you when you watched Legend of Vagabonds?
Dude.
I thought that was a great movie as a kid. Closer. I watched that movie so many times as a kid. I did not realize I was supposed to be offended. I just saw Will Smith on screen. I was like, I love seeing Will Smith on screen. What could be wrong?
Exactly. Yeah, like, what could go wrong? No, he's a step and fetch it Negro. You know, it is what it is. No, it was the times. I'm not mad at that. It's like, it's depicting actual Negro behavior at the time. I just didn't like it. I don't have to like it, but yeah, no, it is
even
what it is.
Even Dagger Vance, bro. Even Dagger, you could tell there wasn't a single black writer in the room when they came up with that name. What are we going to call our magical Negro? Bagger Vance.
What? How about Nagger Vance? I got some men. Let's change the I. Anyway, no, it's problematic. It's problematic. It's just
one of those movies. My dad had everything, man. Like, my dad had so many random movies. I didn't appreciate some of them as a kid. Like, he had Casino in there.
Oh,
he had Goodfellas.
Oh my god, yeah.
Showgirls. He randomly had showgirls. I
Oh,
didn't even
man.
know movies go into the NC-17 rating until I stumbled into that. Well, I had to write all the numbers for all the movies. I was like, what is NC-17? Turns out I try to speak and watch that movie. It is not as erotic and fun as you would think.
Yeah, it's like soft core.
Yeah, it's not just that. It's horrifying. There's a very vivid rape scene that's like traumatic to watch. I'm like, oh my God, how can people think rape is okay? Like that, like, I'll give that movie credit. It very instantly broke me out of any kind of rape culture or anything. Like, oh my God. And all kinds of random shit on there. He made me watch, I had like Godfather movies on there. He had
I think I think those three movies you mentioned, like The Godfather, Goodfellas, and Casino, those really, I didn't watch those until later in my life, like in high school, but really those are American movies. They're American crime movies about like immigrants that, you know, that kind of make their own way and really did kind of show that side of America. I know my uncles loved Goodfellas. I wasn't able to watch it till later. Same with Scarface. Scarface was another one that they adored. So I think it just kind of shows.
My dad, I don't think he loved it,
bro. Scarface opened up. Remember, Scarface it was kind of like based off of like real. No, the guy, the Scarface guy, wasn't a real guy, but like the people like him were real. Like it was about I forgot where the country he was from. I believe it wasn't Colombia. Cuba, yeah, they Cuba. Were, yeah, and the president was like, "Yo, the
Colombians get done dirty in that movie, bro."
Yeah, and like in the beginning, because Cuba at the time, this is 83, but in 82, they were sending like they were clearing out their prisons and like just sending everybody from their prisons to South Florida, essentially, and said, "Here, deal with it, America. We don't want these guys." So like, and Scarface. Yeah. Yeah, and like that was back when, you know, immigration, speaking of which, was, you know, pretty lax. You have a whole country just declare we're gonna just flush out.
Well, no, our prison part system. Of the thing was, no, America had a special deal because they hated communists so much. They basically just instantly gave, like, you know, green cards and I think even citizenship to a lot of Cuban guys because they were trying to be like, no, look, people are fleeing communism and coming to the freedom of American capitalism. So back then, it was awesome. That's why so many Cubans are actually hardcore conservative. Like
against communism.
Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz are both very conservative. Ted Cruz might have been president if Trump wasn't around.
Right. they come from those countries. They don't want to see that again. Okay.
Yes. So, and then the U.S., was very kind to the Cuban community. I went out of the way to basically feel welcome and to, you know, help them get established here. It basically like a public relations kind of PR for them.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, thank you. Yeah. I always wondered about that because, it was in the beginning of Scarface. It was like a whole like thing, like saying, hey, Fidel Castro was like trying to do all. Okay, so it was because they wanted to create that kind of
A lot of people fled, and then obviously some of them just got, I guess, shipped here. But they wanted those people to come, right? And they wanted to be like, no, we're friends to these Cubans who are fleeing communism. Communism is so shit. Plus, back then there wasn't the whole illegal immigration thing, so like, you know, there was a bunch of people like streaming over, so it wasn't like some Latinos coming in wasn't seen as some horrible thing. I guess history for you.
No, thank you, and thanks for that. I always wondered about that part. And those kinds of like crime movies, I think, are part of like, I think if you were, I think if I were meeting a foreign person that was coming to America, I think I would include a movie like Goodfellas, like just to show like, you know, here's one side of coming over here, immigrating to America. I would also show, I can't believe I, speaking of which, I would also show them Coming to America.
I can't believe you haven't mentioned that movie.
Yeah, Coming to America is a very, very important movie to my family, obviously, because, you know, it's an African man coming here. But like, a lot of the tropes, a lot of things, it's one of those movies where, at the time, Black Americans kind of viewed, they didn't really think, have much of a view of African people that came over here. But that movie came out in 88, you know, before I was born, but it, like, its influence is still felt. A lot of Black Americans I went to school with were asking, so are you really a prince? Like, do you know Prince? I can, like, just like funny stuff. And by then I'd already seen it. Like, it's like, it's required viewing if you're an African person in America, like, to watch Coming to America. So, like, we knew all the jokes, we knew all the references, but we're like, some of us kind of playing around, like, yeah, of course. Yeah. I got several wives back at home, like stuff like that. But like that whole thing of like having the Americans see this side, you know, it's an American director kind of like trying to show America how Africans are. Yeah, of course, Eddie Murphy, you know, Arsenio Hall, James Earl Jones, like, you know, it's fictionalized, but there was some truth to it, and it really kind of made us come off as cool to I remember in high school people like asking about that. Like, I came off as like the cool, even though I wasn't foreign anymore, I'd been in America for a while, but like I came off as that because I still went by my name. A lot of the times when Nigerian kids come to America, we change our names. Or I think it's true for any other immigrants, but like I know for us, we change our names.
A lot of Asian folks do.
Easy to pronounce
names. Not common at all in
right
for Latino folks.
Right. I think a little bit easier. I think historically it's been easier for people to pronounce
the way I pronounce the name so that Americans right. could pronounce it.
That's really all.
But you know, I mean, Juan, obviously. But my last name, I flipped it. Or you know, a way I pronounce it, you know, for in English is not, you know, it's almost kind of nonsensical compared to the way it's spelled. But it's easier for it's easier for white folks to pronounce, or you know, for people speaking English to pronounce.
Right. Yeah. I think because we're still.
To touch on honestly, like coming to America and that specific kind of, you know, movie that relates to your particular immigration experience.
Mm-hmm.
One funny thing for me, and I'm thinking because you were here a little younger, and frankly, the difference in languages and culture it might not have been as prevalent. But you know, when I got here, I watched everything in Spanish. Right, everything was dubbed. Like it's to the point where, you know, like not like, oh, I'm watching this English movie with subtitles. No, you're a little kid. Little kids can't keep up with
that. Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of people don't like subtitles, right? It like distracts them and stuff. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people just don't like subtitles. I love them now, but I used to hate subtitles too when I was younger. So we watch everything in Spanish. Right. One fun thing about that is you eventually start noticing that a lot of the same people are voicing all the people in like all the movies. You saw that, right? I never looked at their names and such, but like, and that's part of why I stopped watching dubbed at some point, because it started annoying me. Like, bro, I swear I watched this guy just voicing Batman the other day, and now
there are only so many voice actors.
It's like, you know, it takes away from some of the character of the shows.
The voice matters
so much. A specific voice actor adds so much, and when it feels like you're just having some translator, you know, put a bunch of them just to I guess fill up that quota, like, oh, we got to put it in Spanish so we can license. I mean, it was good. I'm happy they did it. One thing that would piss me off, and I would not understand why this would happen, is that back then a lot of DVDs, a lot of them had Spanish. It's not like nowadays where they have every language. A lot of DVDs only had English and then French.
And French I remember that. The late 90s, early 2000s DVDs, especially the sets that we'd get, you had like two languages, English or if not
French.
Because
apparently, French. You know, French, Canada, Quebec or whatever. That shit pissed me off. Because I didn't know about demographics. But I was in Texas. There seemed to be plenty of other Latino people.
Yeah.
Spanish was obviously a big language. Mexico was right there next to Texas.
Right below, yeah.
Yeah, right. And it's like right next to the United States. People obviously came here all the time. And if they're really French, I haven't been a single goddamn person that speaks French. All my lawnmowers, all my cleaning ladies, half the cafeteria ladies, all these people speaking Spanish.
Everybody's Spanish.
No problem finding people to speak, Spanish to. Ain't not one goddamn person speaking French. Not one. Even the French, actual French people speak English. They're here. They're not stupid. They just learned English in school, and then they're here speaking English now. The only people that don't speak another language are freaking Spanish, and you don't make a movie for them? That shit would piss me off, bro, as a kid.
No, I think with in terms of like the how DVD collections are, the DVD commentary or the DVD setup are, I think because back then with how there was a lot of exposure to Spanish speaking countries or even like other countries, that it was really only like Spanish and French was like, you know, exotic and like the new kind of exotic, and it was just beginning to really look into like countries that spoke Spanish. So having Spanish, so when you said that like all you watched was in Spanish, I'm curious, is like, I remember watching Univision early as a kid because I watched everything.
Univision, Don, what is it, Fernando, Francisco?
Yeah, also Sábado Gigante, I'd watch that, like, because I was just, I watched everything. And I remember watching Dragon Ball in Spanish. I remember watching that on, because they'd show that early morning cartoons. I was like, oh wow, so like kids that don't speak English that speak Spanish, this is what they watch before going to school. So that's really cool to see, like, okay, we all watch the same thing, but they just watched it in another language while it being the same country as me. So I peeped that. And I just always try to, like,
what do you say to Telemundo or Lifesavers?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. My mom was having shit to watch. She didn't obviously struggle with it. My dad was a little luckier. He studied college here. He studied university here in the U.S. So he already knew English.
Knew more English.
Okay. Yeah, he obviously had familiarity with the culture, right? He went through a college experience and all that. I think he even got a master's here. So he spent a good chunk of time. You know, it wasn't a fresh, new, like, all brand new for him. For my mom, it was.
So did your dad, I know some immigrants did this, did your dad, like, watch American movies to help him learn English? I know a lot of people did that.
I never asked him. My dad was never kind of the guy to open up in that particular kind of way.
Okay.
I never... I wouldn't be surprised, especially when they first got here, right?
Right.
I mean, they're obviously, people speak, they probably don't speak a little bit of English, but they're, you know, here from Colombia, they're by themselves. This was back in the day, right? There weren't no Skype or Discord or Zoom and other ways to communicate. Back then, if you wanted to talk, you know, back to people from your home country, you had to go to a phone, get the little pay card. You ever had one of those?
Yep.
The little phone cards. Yeah, I'm sure your mom loved that shit, right?
Yeah,
like, I'm sure you're all about that shit.
Yeah, no, of course.
Yeah, no, she could tell you all about it. So you got the little phone cards. He was in like middle of nowhere Oklahoma, right? He was in some weird OU offshoot or something, or OSU offshoot, even worse.
So Stillwater, okay, even worse.
Yeah, no, like not even like Stillwater. You know what I mean, like. Like the UTSA of Stillwater, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, okay. So the U of H
Sugarland Stillwater kind of situation, right? They were coming here from another country, right? It's not like they had a whole. They were smart people. My dad came with his brother with my uncle, and they were very smart people. They ended up being very successful, but you know they weren't coming here to go to Harvard or something,
right?
So they had to get through that. I'm sure that was part of it. I'm sure part of his experience was watching movies to kind of learn about what was going on. I mean, part of it too is that, you know, Hollywood pervades other cultures better, right? People
yes,
will watch
do.
Hollywood movies, you know, back in Colombia. Actually, when I was a kid, one funny thing was that most movies didn't come out same day. Like nowadays, it's all digital, right?
The movie comes out
internationally, everyone in the world at the same time. But in Colombia, like you'd come in from the United States having just watched, I don't know, Finding Nemo, and then you find out it still hadn't come out in Colombia, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, so like little stuff like that. And obviously, when it was in theaters, it'd be dubbed. They're gonna put, you know, subtitles and such on a whole movie. And anyways, just very different experience from that international perspective. And as far as a couple movies that were... Actually, we had a couple really good Latino movies back in the day. Child-appropriate Latino movies.
You could name a couple for the people at home, if you can remember.
One big one, I think we've talked about it a few times, is Mask of Zorro.
Oh my God! Yes,
Mexican superhero.
Oh my God! Yes,
Yeah, no, big time. I watched that movie so many times as a kid. You have no idea.
Dude,
I
got slightly such sick a of cool it movie.
As a kid.
Cause I watched you got it so sick many of it? Times. Oh, man, I never got so sick of it.
And then as an adult now, like I could watch that movie today and just love that movie.
Absolutely I remember the lines movie. A little bit.
Antonio Banderas,
Anthony Hopkins, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
The scene where they cut off her dress. That's when I realized I was a straight-blooded male.
I was young, but
I was very instant when I realized I did not like men. I was just very much into women.
I was just, I just felt betrayed. I thought she was Mexican this whole time, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Turns out she's Welsh or something. It was nuts. But that's called acting.
Oh, for real? She's Welsh?
She's Welsh, no yeah.
Way. I
want to
have a quick break to look
this up. She's
Welsh, bro. Jesus
audience, give him. Yeah, man. Audience, give Juan some chance.
In the movie, she was supposed to be Spanish, not Mexican. Yes,
yeah, and that's a disclaimer. So Antonio Banderas' character, I believe, was the Mexican one.
Yes, his character was Mexican.
Okay. Anthony Hopkins.
Were Spaniards.
Yes, they were Spanish. Got it.
Important
wait, so, in the Zorro lore is De La Vega he's not Mexican himself, right? He's Spanish.
Bro, I don't know. I like the Zorro lore.
You know what?
Whenever I watch those movies, you know what I mean.
And also, Zorro lore stops at that stupid Amazon show that we saw. I'm sorry.
I think it would have been a comic book. I think there would have been a comic book for. I think there was a TV show for Zorro at one point.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I don't know too much of the specific details of the whole lore behind it. But yeah, so that was one movie. That was one movie that was awesome. And then a second very Latino-influenced movie and that felt very relatable in a lot of ways, Spy Kids.
Dude, yes.
Spy Kids.
Yes, Robert Rodriguez.
Robert Rodriguez.
Love what he does.
You can talk about Machete, Desperado.
Desperado was someone I
watched. Those movies weren't for me, right? I was too young
right,
for those movies
right.
at the time. Good movies, but too young for them at the time.
Yeah.
But Spy Kids,
bro. Yeah, man.
The fucking spot in terms of everything. Machete. Who's the actor who plays Machete?
Danny Trejo. Cheech Marin was in there as their uncle.
Cheech Marin was their uncle.
Yeah.
Antonio Banderas was in there.
Yeah, Andy Garcia was in there. It was dude.
Yeah, the girl. She's a white lady actually.
Tell me the little girl.
No, the lady. The mom.
Carla Gugino.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, good. Carla I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
Where else is she from? She's done some other movies.
She was in Sin City. That lady got her arm bitten off. Yeah. Great actors. No, I remember Spy Kids. I was like, is that cause I, even as a kid? I was like, oh, they got Antonio Banderas as like the lead of like a pair, and they're a spy family, and like they're like unapologetically like Hispanic. They weren't hiding it, and at the time it was this was 2001. And it was
wild how unapologetic it is. Like, there's one particular joke in the movie, most relatable joke for every immigrant kid, right?
Mm.
For every immigrant kid, I can't remember what her name was. Like, her name was Carmen, right?
The girl's name. The daughter.
It's like, okay, so they go to the safe house, the parents' spy safe house. And the robot machine butler asks, what is your name? And she's like, oh, Carmen Cortez. And the machine is like, your full name, please. And she's like, Carmen Cortez is my full name. And the machine is like, your full name, please. And it's like, Carmen Elizabeth Cristo San Julio Santos Cortez. You know what I mean, bro? That's like my name is like that, right? My name is right. I don't have my name is not. First last name, right? I have first, middle, first last name, second last name, third last name, fourth last name. It's not an exaggeration. That is my official name. I can show you my ID with like six names on there, right? You know, it's like a respect thing. It's like, okay, no, I'm showing. You know, I don't have.
Hello, Juan? Still there?
Hold on. Sorry.
It's okay. We can edit this.
A little audio issue.
You're good. You're good.
Well, we're talking
You say you don't have any cutoff.
I don't have what, sir?
No, you're saying you don't have...
What was the same before that, sir?
Yeah, to talk about the last name, because you say like you have like six names in your name and like...
Oh, yeah. I don't have a single last name.
Right.
You know, I have a full situation. So It was very gratifying watching that scene as a kid and just laughing. Because, again, no Americans will properly understand that. You know, for everybody else, I was just, you know, Juan so-and-so, right? Mm-hmm. You know, even my middle name was like, okay, you can put your middle initial to feel special, right? Just middle names were just some kind of throwaway, like, oh, that's like to honor your uncle or some shit, right? That's how like white people's middle names. For me, my middle name was like part of my name, right? I'm not Juan. When I'm in Colombia, I'm not Juan. I'm Juan Esteban or Juanes or Juancho or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, just Juan is not like a name people call each other for the most part. Yeah. There's like a something else added to it. So, yeah, it's these little scenes, these little moments that were super grand. I mean, it's still, you know, for American audiences, they didn't, like, go super overboard with it. It was still, like, a fun kids movie. But it was, you know, I understand when people talk about representation, how important it is in that. Because that felt special to me, right? That's a joke that felt unique to me that... You don't have to make every movie like that, right? You can make plenty of movies with just white folks or just general American culture or whatever. But it was nice to see some of those. I was like, oh, you know, I'm reflected in this. This is something that I uniquely understand and appreciate and relate to.
Exactly.
It's fun. It's nice. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, I appreciate how like their movies I like the fact that there are jokes that not all the audience members will get because, you know, it's not for them and it's cool, but they can still enjoy and maybe pick up on that. Case in point, a recent one, in Blue Beetle, I thought they were making fun of the mosquito guy from The Simpsons. No, it turns out that character was like from like an old Mexican TV show. That they were making, remember in Blue Beetle? Yeah.
Yes.
Something like that, where I appreciated it. Like, okay, I didn't get it. It was still funny. It was still a funny visual, but it was even funnier for people who knew what it was. And I appreciated
that. Me and my wife were cracking up all through that movie exactly because of that. These little moments where, you know, it's like you said, it's not really going to land for everyone. It's still a mass marketable movie. There's still plenty, like Blue Beetle was still plenty of moments for general American audiences, right? They're not making movies strictly for Latinos. But they had these little moments, these little references, those little spoken Spanish moments that just add something extra to the people who do speak Spanish and are from these countries. They have a little more something to relate to and grasp onto and enjoy with these movies that a general audience might not see as much.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, one last show I actually didn't get to see as much as a kid because I didn't think I had Nickelodeon, and I wish I had. But George Lopez show.
Oh,
George Lopez show would have been for me.
Yep, high school. Watch that all the time.
Family Matters would have been for you. You know what I mean?
Oh my god! Like, yeah.
That shit. I watched that all the time in college. Nick at Night.
Yeah, Nick at Night.
With the nanny and
my wife. Fresh Prince, my wife and kids. Yeah. In middle school, I went to a middle school where I was like predominantly Hispanic kids. So I was the minority in there. So like all of my friends were like Mexico, El Salvador, Honduras. And so like I would just do any, you know, just to fit in. I would I'd watch what I thought that they would watch, and what they were watching a lot in middle school was George Lopez show. They would outside of the show, they would watch the stand up. I didn't watch the stand up; I just watched the show. But the show was like my foray into that, and like it was how I kind of was trying to connect with them. But I ended up just like watching the series all the way through and just loving it. And I loved it. I loved it. Like that again. That kind
of
show exists.
You know, speaking of twists, did you know George Lopez's daughter is also like from some Eastern European country?
Yep. I'm Lucia, right? Yeah, I knew. Yeah, the actress. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's an Eastern European lady. Yeah,
no, I remember in high school I would watch My Wife and Kids for the daughter Claire, and then George Lopez for George Lopez's daughter. I was like, I'd make sure to just it basically required.
Every woman in George Lopez was so fine. The mom was so fine. The cousin when she got in
the new one. Yeah, the trouble making cousin. Yeah. I think to bring it all back, I think what we described that experience of being an immigrant in America and like kind of be assimilated, that really does speak to the entire experience. Like, yes, we come over here, we kind of want to act how we think Americans act, watch what they watch, try to, you know, be more like them. But then at the end of the day, there's, you know, our individuality is what matters, is what comes out, is what makes the experience unique. So seeing movies like A Spy Kid, seeing movies like A Coming to America, seeing movies like shows like George Lopez Show, they really like that allows us to see ourselves in there while still maintaining that American sensibility a little bit, that entertainment value. I think it really does speak to the entire experience. It's not being exclusive to foreigners, is very, very inclusive. It's what I like about entertainment here in America and just the stuff that we grew up watching. So, yeah, it's really cool just to see just what you watch, what I watched, how it shaped us, just the experiences that came through. Again, I could talk for hours about George Lopez Show in particular.
Yeah, for sure.
That show, I love that, and My Wife and Kids are two shows that I just adored.
Yeah, and Danny was great too. But now, adding to what you said, I honestly always, I've heard this mentioned, and I think it's a very powerful and true statement that Hollywood produces some of America's most powerful exports, right? Yeah, we have the bombs, we have the military, we have all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But Hollywood, you know, helps sell American culture, American values, influence. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll see it more and more. You know, I started to have people in our countries, foreign countries, right? They'll start having like bachelor parties or bachelorette parties, or, you know, watch something like The Hangover and think like, oh, that's such a quintessential American thing. Shit, I gotta do that now. I might be missing out.
Right,
you know what I mean? People emulate us, all right? Yeah. They start dressing like us. They start listening to our music, to this country's music, so to speak.
Sorry to cut you off, but case in point, like back in Nigeria, like our this young man that my family employs to like do just chores and like wash clothes and whatnot, he said a big influence on him was the movie The Wolf of Wall Street. Like his whole drive to be just the best and to strive and just never give up. He said he watched Wolf of Wall Street like on bootleg, like it was on the back of like another. They have two sided DVDs over there, so it came with that and Face Off for some reason. And like,
no, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I used to have the guys on the corners too, selling the little slim DVD packs.
Yep.
The little barely there DVD packs that had the little like printed out.
It was literally printed out.
I don't know where they got these images from.
Honestly. No, it's printed that out somewhere.
They just got like mass printed somewhere. And some guy had a set.
The colors all washed out. Yeah,
the colors all washed out on the image. But the DVD would work. You would put it in. Cost like $5 for five DVDs instead of $10 for one.
Yeah.
That was some good times, bro.
Yeah.
That was some good times.
The nail on the head was the influence, like that movie influence and that American movie. He's like, that's how y'all are. That's what y'all are on over there. Okay, I got to be on that over here and bring honestly, that that's kind here.
Of a dark influence.
No, yeah.
On the one hand, it's like good for him. On the other hand, it's like, oh man, that's your choice. That was your choice for a role model.
But Jordan Belfort. No, in his defense, because we know him, he took the best qualities. Like he took just the drive and the. And the perseverance and like and right, never giving up is what he said. But yeah, I hope he doesn't take a bunch of Quaaludes because he's supposed to be driving people around and helping. No,
I get
so.
it. But it's like one of those, oh man, you know, like Scarface really motivated. It was like, oh man, that's a rough thing to hear, bro.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
let's,
man.
Let's see how it motivated you, because now I'm questioning this relationship.
I was watching American Psycho and I got really, really inspired. Yeah, man.
No, dude, man. No, for sure. That was fun times.
Do you have any closing thoughts, man, on this episode before we wrap up?
Just to wrap it up with, you know, love the culture here. Definitely the experience growing up. You know, even while I was in Colombia, watching Disney movies with my mom growing up, you know, watching American cartoons, watching Dexter and Johnny Bravo and all this stuff, getting here and rediscovering it. It's actually funny watching some of these cartoons later as an adult and realize that I only ever heard the Spanish voice actors.
Yeah, I was wondering how much of a trip that was just to.
It's see a big trip. It's an even bigger trip for my wife because she's like, you know, she kept doing it until she was like 26.
Yeah, that's right? All she knew for most of her life.
Yeah, but she like she'll start singing the Shrek song, for instance, the little dude log. Yeah. Is the perfect world, and she'll like start singing it in Spanish.
Spanish
is wrong.
No,
I don't care that I'm.
That's wrong.
That's wrong. But yeah, no, it's little moments like that, man. No, it's definitely a trip. Like you, a big part of just bonding with my family as well was watching movies. Not as much TV, not and some, but as far as it was like telenovelas and stuff.
Right.
So that's just not even like it's not even from here, but right. But yeah, man. There's a reason this stuff brings people together. There's a reason we still love it all these years later. It's such a big influence in our lives. It's a reason why we're here talking about it for you guys, the listeners, to get our opinions and our takes on it.
We just want to thank you guys, listeners, just for allowing us into your homes or wherever you're listening now. But now we're going to do the plug of the week.
Plug of the week, baby.
All right. I'll actually kick this one off. So my plug is actually, you know, I've been on a bit of a food plug for a little bit. Last time I plugged a really good chicken spot in Miami, Florida. I now wanted to plug a cheesesteak place. So I got arguably what would have, I think I'd say is the best cheesesteak I've had. So this is in Dallas, Texas, where I have my work. Let me make sure I want to be able to give these people their proper due. So I guess the backstory on this is I've had cheesesteaks. Again, I've been to Philly and whatnot. I've had theirs. You know, I was impressed. But the thing I always say about theirs is that they don't really like season. It's not really seasoned all that well. But this place is called the Cheesesteak House. It's in Dallas, Texas. It's great. They have a larger, it's kind of they kind of follow the same trope, you know, the bread roll that's mashed down, heated butter and all that steak, but it's just the quality of meat, the different toppings you get, it's just quality, just something I think folks up north should try, because down south we season our food. This is a Mexican-run business, Cheesesteak House. So they're very, very involved with the community. They do fundraising for local schools, like if your team needs like a sponsor, they'll do that. There's great people, just great service. Really small place. It's a small place. You just know it's good. So parking is rough, but yeah. So my girlfriend and I went there. I went there a year ago with both Eric and Drew. We were down in Dallas for a Dave Matthews Band concert, and we tried it out. And you know, I've been searching for the place ever since. And so, yeah, this is the Cheesesteak House. It's 2015 West Davis Street, Dallas, Texas. And please, if you're ever in the Dallas area, come and get there. I'd say get the pepper cheesesteak without the banana peppers. It was great. So if you're a cheesesteak head or just lover of good food, I would recommend the Cheesesteak House in Dallas, Texas.
That's okay. All right. So for my plug,
what you got for us, Juan?
Man, I just most of the stuff I've been watching. I've already been plugging. You know, we're going to...
Yeah, it's okay.
We're going to take a plug out of left field here for a little bit. Nostalgia/...
Okay.
I want to take a second to plug a game series called Golden Sun. Basically, it's a Japanese RPG series, turn-based combat. If you ever played the old-school Final Fantasy games, it's very similar to that.
I've seen the cover. Never played the game. I've seen this cover before. Okay.
Yeah, it's a cool little game. It has some similarities story and world-building-wise with Avatar The Last Airbender. Okay. There's the Earth Tribe, the Wind Tribe, the Fire Tribe, and the Water Tribe.
Okay.
Like there's a great power related to these elements, you know, and such. It's I won't go into too much detail of the story, but it's very fun, well-made games. You can actually play them on the Switch, on the Game Boy Advance emulator if you have that. It's not free, I suppose, but it's easy to play. They're Game Boy Advance games, so they haven't been very easily accessible. And unfortunately, they didn't sell super well back in the day, so the series ended with the third game on a cliffhanger. The third game is honestly not as well received, because it's like the first two games were a complete story, and then the third game was their kids, you know, like a couple decades down the line. You know, it felt like a Star Wars sequel kind of thing, where it's like, yeah, it's canon and it's there, and it's some of the same characters and fun stuff I remember, but
not
just
saying.
Didn't hit the same high spots. But I mean, it's like, it's even hard to access that game these days, anyways, unless you have a DS. Golden Sun, absolutely wonderful game, easily accessible now on the Switch. Hoping, you know, people start playing and Nintendo sees that it's popular again. Hopefully we can get a follow-up to the series been dormant for a long time. But yeah, I just wanted to throw that game out there. Fun little game, great music, great graphics for its time. If you like sprite-based graphics, it does it's a pretty beautiful game in that sense. And fun little story to follow. Good characters. What you want in that kind of game? If you're a fan of Japanese RPGs,
all right.
That kind of anime like feel. But yeah, so that's my plug of this week.
Well, thank you, Juan. And I want to thank you, Juan. I also want to thank you, listeners at home, guys. Thank you for rocking with us on this road show. Once again, you can find us on Spotify under the name It Was Mooney. You can search us on there. You can also search for us under the same name on YouTube to get our long form all long form podcast episodes on there. But once again, I've been Kosi, joined always by Wani B. And until next time, guys, peace.
Adios.